So probably a little bit too much. We might do more of that in this one, but I'm trying to just kind of move through the material, talking about survival, and today we're going to talk about suffering. And let me ask you to open your Bibles this morning to really what's the premier book on suffering in the Bible, which is 1 Peter. So open your Bibles to 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, Peter. I haven't ever counted them, but I think I have over 1,000 sermon outlines, and I have been slowly but surely dressing them up and putting them on the internet, on my website. I'm up to 650 out there so far, and I've got some books, like John, for example. I've got, I don't know, 30 or 40 messages in John at least that I haven't put up. I think I'll probably wind up with about 1,000 when I'm done. But if you have any interest in seeing some outlines of some books like this, if you go to my website and look at Bible study, there'll be some things out there. And if you go to a book and it's not there, tell me and I'll get her out there quick. But it takes a long time to get those things prepared and to get them put up. And some of them are still handwritten, so that's how desperate I have been to try to get them out there. Have you ever experienced something and it was very meaningful to you, had a great impact on you, and you thought to yourself, there's just no way that anyone else could understand this unless they went through it themselves? There's just no way to put it into words. I don't know why this popped into my mind, but there was an Italian restaurant about a mile away from our church in Maryland called Mama Roma's, and the people that ran it were from Naples, Italy. And if you had ever tasted their marinara sauce, oh, I mean, it's as good as it gets. We had some friends in our church in Maryland. His name was Mr. Gaudiano. He grew up in Sicily and then New York City, and he could cook Italian food, and he made a great sauce also. And I've probably told you this before, but his joke was, he says, if you want to know how to make really good spaghetti sauce or marinara sauce, he says, go to the grocery store, find the aisle that's got all the canned sauces in it, and get as far away from that as you can. That's how you start. Everything's got to be fresh. Fresh tomatoes, fresh everything. He sure could cook as well. He could do some things with broccoli. I wish I could figure out what he did. It was just astounding how good the food was. If you've been to the Grand Canyon, you really can't express it with pictures or words, can you? You just gotta see it. In fact, the first time you look at it, you think, this can't be real. this is too big. How can this be? That's what God can do, amen? Well, not such a happy thing to think about. But the truth of the matter is, until you have suffered, there's just really no way to put it into words. Amen. There are different levels of suffering. I mean, there may be the disappointment of something that you were hoping that would happen, and it didn't happen, and that causes you to suffer. But there is a level of suffering that is at a point which is so high to where you realize, and I don't know how to put it into words, but you come to the point to where you'll realize everything you have except for your salvation, you could lose. If you think about it, nothing that you have is secure except your salvation outside of God. And Job is the premier example of this. But 1 Peter has a whole lot to say about suffering. And I just read you a verse, have a word of prayer. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5, by the way. And he's concluding his thoughts, and so this is kind of a ending statement that he makes here in verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, I'm sure glad those two words are there, aren't you? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. We're going to talk about surviving suffering this morning. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not sure suffering is as hard to survive as some other things. In fact, I think prosperity may be harder to survive than suffering. Suffering tends to draw us closer to God, doesn't it? But we're gonna look at that just a little bit today, and I'll kind of stay with the handout. So everybody got a handout? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll start. Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, first of all, help us to humble ourselves. We realize without you we can do nothing. There's nothing in and of ourselves that is of any value to you. But, Lord, you can take what very little we have, and you can make it something that is pleasing in your eyes, and you can make it something that can accomplish eternal objectives. And Lord, today I ask you to do that. No doubt many people in this room, maybe every single one, knows the meaning of suffering, repeated suffering, very deep suffering. Maybe someone recently has experienced that in various ways. And Lord, first of all, I pray today help us to realize that it's not a strange thing when we suffer. It's something that we should realize is common for everyone. In fact, it's a form of temptation, and the Bible says that there's nothing uncommon about it. Help us today to see what we need to see, and I just pray you'd bless the teaching of the lesson and the hearing of it. Bless our children's classes today. Most of all, I ask you, please, prepare our hearts for the morning worship hour. Help us to have a worshipful spirit. Help us to have a good attendance. I pray you'd bring in visitors and that you would bless our church for your glory, not for ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, look at your handout just a little bit. And, of course, James talks about the prophets being an example of suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ is an example of suffering. The word suffer, just as if we need a definition, but it means to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable, distressing, either to the body or the mind. Typically the mind, isn't it true? We suffer a lot less physically than we do emotionally or mentally. We suffer pain of body, we suffer grief of mind. The criminal suffers punishment. The sinner, and this is a Webster's definition, by the way, the sinner suffers the pains of conscience in this life, and is condemned to suffer the wrath of an offended God. We often suffer wrong, where someone does something wrong to us. We suffer abuse, we suffer injustice. And in the Bible, you might remember that occasionally when you see the word suffer, it means to allow. In other words, suffer the little ones to come unto me, the Lord says. It's the idea of allowing something. And when we're suffering, most of the time, and I don't want to get too far from my handout, but most of the time when we're suffering, we don't have any control over the circumstances, but sometimes we do. Amen. And the Bible talks about in Hebrews some people that were suffering and they refused to deliver themselves because in order to do that, they would have had to have done something that would have offended God or that would have been against what God wants. For example, the person that is witnessing to family members, and the family members don't want to hear it, and the family members will give them grief over that and persecute them in some ways, and they'll be told, if you'll stop this, I don't want to hear this again, leave us alone, I don't want to hear this again, if you'll stop this, then we can get along. But you have to decide, am I going to stop or am I going to keep going, you know? That may not be the best illustration. The pastor in the ministry that's having a hard time. We heard a good message yesterday at the end of the day about how to survive a shipwreck. And one of the things he mentioned was stay on the ship. Don't quit. Amen? You know, many times in the Bible, people were delivered after all hope was lost. And in your life, if you quit, then God can't deliver you. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you say, oh, I give up, I'm not going to do that anymore, it's just too hard or it's too painful or whatever, let God have a chance to deliver you. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to try to stay with the handout because it's got a logical flow here. This subject, its cause and its remedy, and countless examples of suffering are found in the Bible. Everyone suffers. There's nothing that can be done to avoid this fact. I guarantee you in your life, in many ways, you're going to suffer. Not like other folks suffer, perhaps, but there is going to be suffering in every life. Of all sorts, and I'm sure that you're like me, things just pop into your head of examples of this. It's not just part of the Christian's life or the unbeliever's life, it's just part of life. The lost man who does all he can to avoid suffering will still experience the suffering of doubt and guilt and sin's wages, and then, of course, the suffering of hell. The saved man who does all he can to avoid suffering will still experience the suffering of maybe being backslidden or the wages of sin or feeling guilty towards Christ. And let's turn to Hebrews 10 and look at those verses there. You're right almost there anyway. It's just back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to see if I can find. Don't go away. Yep, there we go. All right, we're going to read it in chapter 11 also in just a minute. But go back to chapter 10. And one of the things a saved man might do is he might choose to walk away from Christ in order to avoid suffering. And, of course, that was the theme in Hebrews, wasn't it? The question really to the Hebrews was, are you going to continue to stand with Christ and be persecuted? Or are you going to go back to the old ways at the temple and the sacrifices and the priests that he says can't even offer sacrifice for sin because Christ has done that? Aren't you glad we have one high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Any man who puts the label priest on is in big trouble with God. Right. There's no more of that. That was an Old Testament commodity. But anyway, so the Jews said, you know, they're persecuting us, and if we would just go back and appease them by going back to the temple and going back to the priest and going back to the Old Testament sacrifices, maybe they would give us a break and they would not persecute us this way. And Paul says, you can't do that. And here's his summary statement, or one of them, in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10. Are we there? He says, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You remember those days of old when you were a child and you couldn't, you got caught doing something, and mom said, wait till dad gets home. And there's that impending disaster coming towards you somewhere along the way, because dad's going to come home. And you'd like to hide, you'd like to die, you'd like to disappear. I see some smiles in the audience there. I've been there, done that. You know, when we sin against God, don't we get that sense of dread? You know what I'm talking about? And here's the good news. If you'll come before him and confess your sins and humble yourself and make things right, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. You can get right with God again, amen? And it may require some effort. It'll definitely require some strength from God. It'll definitely require some time, but it can be done. And so the contrast here is just to say no and to sin willfully. But as long as we're here, look at chapter 11. And there's just all sorts of examples here, but look at verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. That's one example of somebody that said, no, I'm not going to take the easy, worldly, sinful route. I'm going to identify with God's people. And let me ask you this, was Moses' life easy? No. Was it full of suffering? Yes. And why? Mostly because of the people murmuring and complaining and rising up against him and all those things. But he made that choice. And I don't want to get too far off the handout or I'll never get done, but When you choose to accept affliction in order to please God, that brings honor to Him, doesn't it? Amen? And that's part of the message here. So, let's see. I don't want to miss anything. Yeah, let's look at some verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I may need some help. Let's see. Greg, can you pick up Acts 9:16 and get ready to read that for me in just a minute? We're all going to look at 2 Timothy 2, but Greg's going to go to Acts 9:16. And Joanne, would you do Philippians 1:29? Philippians 1:29. You believe the Bible, right?
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:12. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him.
Amen.
Huh. Now you got to get the context going there, and I haven't really got time to do a good job of that. But he's talking to Timothy, and he knows Timothy is going to experience some suffering. The contrast would be, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. And so sometimes when we stand up for Him, we're going to suffer. Okay, Greg, would you read me Acts 9:16, please?
For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
And who's he talking to? Saul, who later was named Paul. And he was going to suffer great things for Jesus' name's sake. Let's see if we can't develop that thought just a little bit. Why did the Jews hate Paul? Because they didn't like the way he looked, or they didn't like the way he talked, or they didn't like the way... What was it about Paul the Jews hated? He stood up, he preached Christ.
Amen.
That was the problem. And so he's, and they tried to kill him, and all sorts of different things happened to him because of that persecution. Okay, Joanne, Philippians 1:29. Now, the new Christian that just got saved, what would you tell a new Christian? We have some new Christians in our church. We have some young men in our church that have recently been saved and baptized, and several of them went to the conference yesterday. And what do you tell these guys? What do you think? Should we warn them? Yes, sir. Say it again. Okay, that's a good one. Okay. Should we warn them about suffering? The Bible warns us, doesn't it? Amen. I remember one time I walked into the pastor's office in Salt Lake City. Oh, by the way, remember that fellow, Daryl Champlin, that he mentioned in the message yesterday? He's a charter member of the church in Salt Lake City where I was trained to be a pastor. Yeah. He really is an amazing man. He was a missionary to Suriname for a long time. And they got a lot of good stories to tell. That one yesterday was just one of them. But anyway, if you didn't go to the conference, you wouldn't know who this fellow is. But the speaker talked about a famous missionary who's probably one of the more famous missionaries in our day, named Daryl Champlin. And anyway, so I went to the pastor's office one day in Salt Lake City, and I said, "You didn't tell me it was going to get this hard." And he said, "Well, I'm not sure how I could have explained it to you. I just knew you were going to have to find out for yourself." But not a lot you can do, because once again, until you've really have suffered, it's just hard to describe it. And there's all sorts of different kinds of suffering. But in general, think about it this way. You picked a path for your life. For example, in my case, I had a very prosperous career in Salt Lake City. And I was very successful at it. I was very well known. People would literally walk up to me and shake my hand and say, "I've been wanting to meet you. I've seen your work, but I never have met you before." And that felt really good. And that's called glory, by the way. And God should get all the glory. But anyway, so after I left that and I stopped doing that, then when troubles came along, I'd think to myself, you know, if I hadn't chosen to serve God, this wouldn't have happened. Now, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, right? If you hadn't chosen to be faithful or you hadn't chosen to serve God, then this wouldn't have happened. So by definition, those things that you experience that are in the form of suffering that come because you chose to serve God, that brings glory to Him. It's going to bring reward to us. Amen? So whatever choices you make in your life that are for God, that result in difficult times later on, that brings glory to God.
Amen.
And that comforts us sometimes because you may wonder, why is it so hard? And the answer is because that's what it means to stand for Christ. It gets hard sometimes. I got to get back to my handout. This is not going to work. Okay. If you are alive, you have suffered and you will suffer. Suffering is caused by the presence of sin in the world, and it's going to continue until sin is removed.
Amen.
Now, I have verses for each of these examples. I'm not going to read all the verses, but they are there for a reason. I'll try to tell some of the stories. We might look at a few of the verses. But look at the examples of suffering found in the Bible, and you haven't got to look very far, do you? For example, Adam and Eve. How would it feel to have one of your sons murder another of your sons? That's suffering. And why did Cain kill Abel? Because Abel stood with God and Cain didn't. Sin. And the suffering that was experienced there. And it goes on and on and on and on. And often in the Bible, you'll see that contest, that conflict, that battle. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau, the Israel and the Philistines, and it's always that battle, and you know, even today we're seeing that. You have this, all these insane social movements of people that want to choose their own gender. I got bad news for them. God made that choice, and you can cut your body, and you can dress like a fool, and you can do all the things you want. God made you what you are.
Amen.
End of story. And lots of things of that nature. You say, well, Pastor, you're insensitive. No, the truth would be good for some folks. Amen?
Right.
The Bible says God made them male and female. And I just picked that because it seems so obvious to me, but there's a thousand things like that. Anyway, when you make choices to serve God, it could bring suffering. And there's lots of that in the Bible, and that conflict goes on even today. David's son Absalom, when he died, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18. Let's read a few of these at least. 2 Samuel chapter 18. You can see, I think we read this last week, actually, but Samuel's before Kings, not after. You can see the suffering here. By the way, isn't it true that some of the greatest suffering that we experience is not because of what happens to us, but because of what happens to people we love?
Yes, amen.
For example, if your child is suffering, you're suffering. You may not have any physical ailment, but if your child is suffering, you're suffering. If your parents are suffering, again, Jeremy right now, his mom is in very serious condition in the hospital, and I was over there Friday visiting with her and him for a while. And I think I can tell you this without breaking the confidence. We were wanting to make sure one more time that she heard the gospel. And I was kind of having to lean over to talk to her. She's hard of hearing. And you're never quite sure how loud to talk. And I'm leaning over, talking kind of loud. And she said this to me. She said, I never knew dying would be like this. That's kind of eye-opening, isn't it? That makes you think. And we talked to her, and she professes to know what Jesus did for her. And we didn't get a clear sinner's prayer, but I'm trusting that she has faith in Christ. If you have faith in Christ, you're saved, amen?
Amen.
You have saving faith that He died on the cross for your sins. The belief is what saves you. So let's see, 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33. David is suffering because his son has died. The king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. And parents here today, Understand that statement that we would rather suffer than have our children suffer. And so, for example, that's why it breaks our heart when our children choose sin rather than choose God. Because I guarantee you that in the end, the sinner suffers more than the Christian. Not just in eternity, but in this life. Have you seen anybody that's been addicted to drugs? Have you seen anybody who's become an alcoholic? Have you seen anybody who's tried to live their life for themselves and they are so selfish and it doesn't work? You can't satisfy yourself. And in the end, people that choose sin, and if you don't choose Christ, you're choosing sin, they're going to suffer worse than the Christian does. The difference in their suffering and our suffering is their suffering is in vain. They're simply suffering because they made a wrong decision. Whereas our suffering brings glory to the Lord, and it's commendable because it's also rewarded. John chapter 11, we won't read that, but it's a long passage there about Lazarus. And the suffering there would have been Mary and Martha. And the question was, Lord, why didn't you come save him? If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Do you remember that? And that's true. If he would have been there, they couldn't have seen him risen from the dead. So sometimes when God waits to deliver us, it's so that he can give a greater deliverance. Amen? That's good. So the loss of a loved one to death, we understand that. The loss of a wife, the loss of a husband, the loss of a mother or father or a brother or a sister. And it's just very much less painful when you know they're in eternity with the Lord. Amen? And that's why of all the people that I've known of that have died, probably my stepfather is the most painful because I don't think he was saved. And it's not that we didn't try. I just don't think he was saved. At his funeral, I get the number a little mixed up, but as I recall, he had 10 or he had 12 brothers, a whole bunch of kids in this family, and they were all boys. And at his funeral, one of his brothers got saved. And so there at least, if you think about the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man wanted somebody to come back and preach to his brothers. In this case, somebody did. Being betrayed by friends or loved ones. Turn to Job chapter 2. I might not keep my word. We might look at more of these. Job. Now Job's got many different types of suffering. And say this for the wives in the room. A wife can cause great suffering in the life of her husband. But, it's on the tape. We'll make a banner. Amen. Okay, you ask for it. The husband can cause great suffering in the life of a wife. Why? Because we love each other. And so we take what our wife or our husband says and does most seriously of all. The Bible talks about the two becoming one flesh. It's like there's really just one of us. In Job's case, I don't even think this is the worst case scenario, but it's definitely a bad case. In chapter 2 and verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he wisely but sadly had to say to her in verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Now this is a really important, you might want to memorize this. He says, shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? In other words, you're just going to love God when he gives you good things and not when he brings trials into your life or allows trials into your life. But I've known missionaries, too many of them, names pop into my mind in situations that had to come off the field because of their wife. Because their wife just would not endure, could not endure. I've known missionaries that were on the way to the field and I could kind of see it coming. Sure enough, 6 months, a year later, 2 years later, they're back off the field. And how do you explain that? I don't know. You say maybe they married the wrong person. Nothing you can do about that once you get married. Amen? Maybe something went wrong. I don't know. I just know that when you go to the mission field, it needs to be a husband and wife team. Amen? They both got to be on board. Same thing about going into the ministry, husband and wife team. Fella says, I'm going into the ministry, my wife doesn't want to go. You're going to have big problems. You're not going to last very long. And because you're going to experience some things that you need both of you to be on board with. So Job's wife was not on board with him. And, you know, it's one thing when your friends come, and you remember the story of Job, just real quick. Job's lost everything, and then here come his three friends. Friends is in double quotes. And they said, well, the problem here, Job, is you've sinned. We don't know what it is, but you've done something to deserve this. Because God wouldn't let anybody go through this, something this bad, unless he deserved it. Job, you've done something bad. Just tell us what it is. And then most of the book is Job defending himself against the accusations. Well, it's bad enough. It's bad enough when your friends turn on you, but then when your wife turns on you, wow. And then let me turn that around. Don't turn on your wife either, gentlemen, as long as I'm here. Amen? And if you're not married yet, make sure that you marry the right woman or right man, whatever the case might be. That's a very painful thing when those that love you turn against you. Can you imagine? We won't look at the passage, but Joseph, when his brothers threw him in the pit. Now, I've known some family situations to where the brothers and the sisters didn't necessarily get along. But then later on, they kind of got better at that. But Job, his relationship with his brothers never really became what it ought to be. I mean, even after he became second in line to Pharaoh and they came to Egypt, there was still a lot of pressure. They thought surely after, when they found out who he was, they thought, now we're in trouble. And that's when he told them he meant it for evil, God meant it for good. One of the most exciting things I think that you can find in the Bible, because it's a picture of what Christ will do with Israel. One day when Israel realizes they crucified their Messiah, and he'll say to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So Job's brothers, that surely would have been a source of suffering. See if we can go a little bit faster here. Not Job's brothers, Joseph's brothers. Jesus, when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, we don't think of that a whole lot, but turn there in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and the Psalms talks about this as well, being betrayed by a friend, somebody that you trusted, and I realize Jesus knew that he really, spiritually speaking, couldn't trust Judas, but he still made Judas a friend, treated Judas as a friend, and I can tell you by experience as a pastor, any pastor could say the same thing I'm about to say, it hurts when you try to help somebody and they turn around and stab you in the back. And it happens a lot. And it happens so often, you can't even keep track of it. It happens, I would say, this may be a little extreme, but I doubt very seriously if any pastor lives a year without having that happen to them, that somebody they tried to help stabs them in the back. And the reason is going to be explained in the message this morning, because people don't like the message, and so they go after the messenger. Amen. And that's the cause of that. But look at Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 10. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad. And then, I won't read the rest of it, but you know the story, that they ultimately, Judas had betrayed him. And Jesus called him a friend in the Psalms. And if you've ever had a friend or somebody that you loved, somebody you cared about, maybe in my case, I'm thinking of church members that I really cared about, tried to help them, went out of my way to help, loved their company, prayed for them. And then when the time came, instead of standing, they attack, instead of standing with you, and it's just sad. It hurts. Not being properly loved or cared for or raised by parents. Look at Genesis 21. We'll finish here. I'm going to have to stop. We'll keep on going next week. Ishmael. You know, Ishmael is the father of a nation he's the father of the Arabs, and they are the enemy of the Jews, and they are also, the Bible says, even the enemy of all men. I can't really quote it directly today, but Genesis chapter 21. You got to admit, he got the short end of the stick in Ishmael, and Genesis chapter 21. So Abraham went in to Hagar. this Egyptian woman, and she had a child, and in verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Right there's some suffering, isn't there? And suffering because of what Sarah had done. By the way, it was Sarah's idea. And God said to Abraham in verse 12, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That was God's plan, that Isaac would be, the line of Christ would come from Isaac. Verse 13, also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And then we have the story of him almost dying and the angel saving him and so on. And but that's just suffering all the way around. And you can understand why when Ishmael grew up, he did not particularly care for Isaac's descendants. And so they became enemies, and they stayed enemies even until this day. Physical pain and suffering. Job, Epaphroditus was sick. Going without things because of poverty. Would God let you be poor? We don't tend to like to think about that. But there was the widow with the widow's mite, and she trusted God. Amen. And we have the story of Lazarus, the beggar, in Luke 16. Even the Apostle Paul went without a lot of things. And it was just a simple story. When you see other people give their children wonderful gifts and you can't give your children the same thing, it hurts. Amen. Then the truth of the matter is, sometimes it's better for your children not to get too much gift, and it's okay for them to go through some trials. I told you this story before of my dad at Christmas time one year. His gift was a banana. That was his Christmas gift, one banana. Now, got to put this in perspective. Back in those days, which would have been the 30s, bananas were very rare, and to get a banana was kind of neat. But that was his Christmas present, was a banana. The funny thing is, if we started talking about gifts, he'd always talk about that banana. Like that was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. And, you know, it's kind of interesting sometimes. The things that we appreciate don't have to be the expensive things. It's the circumstances around them that make us appreciate them even more. Of course, Paul, Tamar suffered physical pain. Saul falsely accused David. Ahab accused the prophet Elijah. We don't like to be falsely accused, especially when people pick up the mantle and run with it. Being defeated. Elijah and Joshua. Joshua knew defeat in Joshua 7, and that was a source of suffering. Being persecuted, the prophets, like James 5 talks about, Joseph, Daniel, Peter, many others. Lots of examples of suffering in the Bible. Now, I'll finish this next week. We'll stop right there, but I'll just tell you something, and that is, think of you. Here's your homework assignment. I'm not even going to tell you why it's a trick question. Here's your homework assignment. Find me somebody in the Bible that's a Bible hero that didn't suffer at all. That won't take you very long. There's not one. Look around, see what you can find. Find a Bible hero. Think of some. Name a Bible hero. They suffered. It's part of life. Amen? Just because we suffer doesn't mean we quit. Someone says, if I quit, I wouldn't suffer anymore. Yeah. Not for a while. But later and worse. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for being attentive. So stand and be dismissed.